You're listening to the Skate Fu Podcast, episode 39. This time we have a one-hour interview with pro aquascaper George Farmer, who gives you his best advice on aquascaping. Let's go.
Welcome to the Skate Fu Podcast, where it's all about learning to make aquariums beautiful. And now, here are your hosts, Skate Fu founder and chief bottle washer, Art Pinom, your DIY homescaper, JJ, and our full-time aquascaper and smarty pants from Germany, Yuri's Mitt JS.
Hello, welcome to the Skate Fu Podcast. We are the only podcast on the internet dedicated to making your aquarium beautiful. It's called Aquascaping, and we're on a mission to change the way you're thinking about your aquarium. I'm Art Pinom, and today I am alone. And the reason I am alone is because I have a pre-recorded interview for you. It's a one-hour interview with professional aquascaper George Farmer from the UK. If you don't know George, George has been in the hobby for a long time. He's been very influential in the English-speaking world in pushing forward the aquascaping hobby. He's a personal friend of mine and an overall great guy. I think you're going to learn a lot. I had an absolute blast speaking to him for an hour. It was a treat, and I learned a lot. I'm sure you will as well. So without further ado, why don't we listen to the interview? Here you go. Enjoy.
Hi, Art. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, George. How are you?
Yeah, really good. You sound good.
Do I? Thank you so much.
Very clear. Yes. So good.
Great.
Good. Are we videoing or just audio?
It's just audio. The video is going to kill the Skype. Before. So
yeah, no,
there is an ocean in between us. So let's.
I've done a few conference calls with Dustin. Dustin.
Yes, I heard. I did.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But no, audio is good. The quality is a lot better, I think. So
yes, I think audio keeps it clean, at least so far. So let's not jinx it. I will.
Yeah.
Knock on wood here. Listen. Thanks so much for taking some time out and chatting.
It's my pleasure.
I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah, well, likewise. You know, I think we're both very like-minded enthusiasts, and I think we do everything we can to promote the hobby, so it's all good.
Yeah, and one of us has talent and the other one doesn't.
So that's not a very nice thing to say about me. It's all good, mate. All good.
So what are we going to talk about?
Are you recording now?
I am.
Okay, cool. So obviously, you're going to edit. like I said earlier, a little bit about entry-level aquascapers. I really want to kind of encourage beginners, which I think you are doing really well already with your podcasts. But I kind of want to make a point how easy it should be to get into aquascaping, with all of the equipment that's available out there now, and it's relatively inexpensive. All the knowledge is out there now with guys like you. And it's just easier than ever. I just think, why aren't more people getting into it?
That is a good question. One you asked me of, I think, in the Ask Art podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was the kind of East versus West thing. You know, why are the Eastern guys more into the nature aquarium thing? Which I think you answered perfectly, by the way.
Yeah. And what are your thoughts on that? Let me ask you the question.
I agree. I've not been in the hobby as long as you have, and I've probably not done as much traveling as you have, Art, but. I just think we have different mindsets. We come from different cultures, and we expect we're bombarded with different environmental factors, aren't we? So if you live in Japan or if you live in a beautiful mountainscape somewhere, you're going to take your inspiration from that. If the only things you see naturalistically wise, if you live in the city, for instance, and you've lived in the city all your life, then you know you're going to take your inspiration from elsewhere. You might take it from a local park, or you might have to take it from external sources like TV, magazines. And so you might not be so closely connected to nature. So I think those guys that live amongst nature have a closer connection with it, and then maybe can, it's kind of easier for them to be inspired by it and replicate that. But I think...
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I mean, I agree with you. And a long time ago, I used to say that aquascaping and planted aquariums were the cure for living in a city.
Yeah, And a lot of people don't have space for gardens.
Yep.
So why not bring that inside? Myself, I've only literally just started getting into gardening outside. You know, I've lived in houses all my life, and I've always found it a bit of a chore to mow the lawn or do the weeding. It's only now I'm thinking, oh, actually, you know, why not make my outside living spaces beautiful as my fish tanks? But there's only so many hours in the day. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And much bigger outside than the 60 yeah. centimeter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but you just reminded me of something. I think part of why we do what we do, because it is trying to push the hobby and expand it and get more people involved, right? Because you and I could be just focused on our own aquariums and forget that, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the piece on CNN? At least it was CNN.com that picked it up on aquascaping.
No.
It was maybe a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the UCAPS guys were involved with that, weren't they?
Was it? I don't know.
I'm sure we got a mention. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Was it Dan Crawford, I think? And yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Congrats. But I mean, it hit CNN. I mean, this is a big deal, right? Pushing it forward, and there was a bunch of comments. So I was interested, being that it hit mainstream media, what the comments were going to be like, you know? And I know there's trolls everywhere. But one guy did something that just stabbed me in the heart. He went in there and he said, yeah, these things are beautiful, but man, it just... Now I got to mow my aquarium, not just my lawn outside. And, you know, that's just not the right thinking. It's not that hard. Yeah.
It's the totally wrong approach. I mean,
right.
For me, maintenance is part of the joy. I'm kind of results driven. So I love to see the before and after. So I see my aquarium now. I'm looking at two of them right now as we speak, and I can... As soon as I see them, I can see how they're going to grow, how I can make them improve by pruning this, pruning that, by maybe moving this little thing here and putting something in there. But
why is that, Mr. Farmer, that you can actually see that? You yourself said you're not a natural artist.
I think like, you've talked about this on a previous podcast, but it's just practice, isn't it?
Yes.
The more, and I think you did another, I think it's one of your quotes on Twitter or Facebook, to become a master or an expert or something, you need to spend, how long is it? 100,000 hours?
10,000.
10,000. Okay. Yes. All right. That's easier than 100,000.
Yeah, 5 years as opposed to probably a lifetime. Yeah. But both will work. Okay.
I mean, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have. I mean, I've only been a serious aquascaper for 10 years. So I intuitively do stuff now rather than having to consciously think about it and go through a whole thought process on it. It just becomes instinctual, but right. That is only because of practice. It's not because of a natural gift. I don't believe. When I started out art, I made so many mistakes, you know. My first aquarium was full of non-aquatic plants, you know, and I think actually that's a good thing because not being one to give up and wanting to learn why I was failing, you know, I looked into it and I realized they were non-aquatic plants and it started from there. You know, I bought some real aquarium plants and discovered, you cut your teeth on the Doppler system, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, that was kind of my dream. I did save up and buy some pieces of it. But that's when I started.
But that methodology.
Yes.
The underground heating, the slow
The optimum aquarium and the 10 golden rules. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so Denele, which is the German, again, a German company, they had a similar thing. And that was quite popular when I started out. And there was the seven, they had a book, which is very similar. I think they, you know, they were inspired by the Dupler guys. And they had the seven steps to a beautiful aquarium, I think it was called.
Right.
Seven steps to a successful planted aquarium. And so, you know, that's when I first kind of discovered how to grow aquarium plants. And then discovered Amano shortly after.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the aquascapes in the Denele book, and then I looked at the aquascapes in the Amano book, and I was just like, I thought the Denele aquascapes were beautiful when I first, because he had no frame of reference. But then I looked at Amano stuff, and I was just like, it was like an epiphany almost. It was just like, I've waited all my life to
George,
see that.
Be careful. The Denele aquariums are also very nice.
Oh, yeah, of course they are.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, and I'm not going to push any brands or anything like that, but, you know, you have to, you know, the Amano is, you know, whatever you think of him, you know, he's blessed this planet with the Nature Aquarium.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm going to be interrupting you here, George. Sorry.
That's okay.
But I'm not seeing you, so if I step on a few of your words, I apologize right up front. Why do you think that is? I mean, I was surprised a few years ago to learn that there's people out there that really are not fans of Amano.
Yes. Well, you mean in terms of him and his marketing or his work?
I don't know. You know, I see the question a lot. So whether you like him or not, you know, Amano is very influential in the hobby. So I'm just curious to see what your thoughts are on that. Because one is the artist, Amano, and the other one is the capitalist, right?
Yeah.
The businessman.
Yeah. I think he's very talented on both parts. I've not met him yet, and I'm a big believer in actually meeting someone and speaking to someone with them one to one before you really can make an informed decision on them.
Good rule.
But I'll be totally honest with you. I'm eternally grateful to the guy because without his work, I don't think I'd be where I am right now talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a massive blessing. I have spoken to lots of other guys that have dealt with him on a business level, and he does have some, you know, what some of us would regard as questionable approaches to things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. You know, going back to the East versus West thing, I think that has a big, you know, a big factor.
Yep, I agree.
But, you know,
I
think, you know, late in the when I started out the hobby, I thought ADA were a little bit holding back on, like what we should try to do. We tried to get the knowledge out there, you know, for free, go on the forums, you know, Skatefoo, you know, my Facebook, Twitter, UCAPS, you know, we do as much as we can to promote the hobby. But ADA are obviously a business. And I think they held back a bit it almost felt a bit secretive, I think, some of Amano's techniques. You know, how does he manage to keep these aquariums long-term, algae-free? And, you know, people used to be obsessed about nutrient levels and, you know, people like, how does he, you know, what nutrient levels is he dosing? And he used to read the, in Nature Aquarium World, if you read the stats about each aquascape, it used to say, well, it still does obviously, it says, you know, nitrogen or, you know, nitrate phosphate levels less than 0.1. But then you'd read, you know, EI, you know, aim for sort of 20 to 30 parts, and you're like, so there was so much conflicting stuff. And I think ADA were kind of, you just didn't know. I remember asking a question on APC, obviously, you know, that plays well.
I do.
You know, why do why are ADA tanks? What do people who follow the ADA, buy all the ADA kit and use their methodology? Why are all their tanks amazing and well maintained? Actually, it's nothing to do with ADA. It's to do with your approach,
right?
And you know, I'm kind of going off on a tangent and maybe waffling a bit, but
no, it's a very interesting tangent. And I will tell you that when Duplo was out, people were saying the exact same thing. And PMDD, Duplo drops were created because of this mystery that Duplo had, that you had to use their products for you to get the result. Yeah. I don't think they ever came out and said that. Just like Amano, I don't think has said that you got to use ADA, Nature Aquarium products to be successful. But if you do follow their line, then you have a very good chance because it's one way of achieving good success.
I think what's really important for newcomers especially is there are so many different ways to achieve a great result. And so don't, you know, try not to get confused, but also, which is, it's really hard to do because there's so much advice out there now, especially on the forums. Right. A lot of it's conflicting. So
That's one of the reasons I started Ask Art.
Yeah, exactly. It's brilliant. So one of the things I do recommend for beginners is to try to find a mentor on the forum. Unfortunately, I don't spend that much time on forums these days. I just don't have the capacity to do that. But if you can find someone who's experienced, you can see their aquascapes online and they're willing to contribute to the forum, then, try to befriend them, and follow their methodology rather than half a dozen different people's, because what you can do then is by following, say someone recommends, this level of lighting, but then another person recommends this level of CA2, then, you can get conflicts, and that's when you can run into errors. So try to follow one person's advice who's, well established at what they do, and you're less likely to go wrong.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
Especially in today's forums that have millions of posts in them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think... Ask Art's great, Skate Foo's great, because you're very experienced. JJ is the DIY obviously, side of things. Then you've got Jury as well, who's obviously the pro. And so I think that brings a really nice balance to the podcast. So
He really does. And I'm very happy and fortunate to have the two of them with me presenting different perspectives, because I think we try and capture the range of people.
Yeah, and that's hard to do.
It is, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
But you're speaking about the form, and it's interesting to me for 2 points. Mm-hmm. One is you call it UCAPS. Those of us here in the United States, we call it UK apps.
Yeah, that makes sense, because it is the UK.
It is the UK. But I guess being from the UK, you don't really...
Yeah, we don't kind of need to say UK. And it's easy, it's less syllables. UCAPS is two, whereas UCAPS is... UK apps is three, so it's a little bit lazy as well, I guess.
and tell me, is it true that Tom Barr was the one that gave you the idea to start it?
He was, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So if you remember... Tropical Fish Forums. So fishforums.net. I was prolific on there. I was a moderator on the planted tank thing, on the planted tank side of things. And bearing in mind, I'd only been in the hobby, three years before I became a moderator. So it kind of gives you an idea of how passionate and obsessed I got quite quickly. And so Tom was posting quite regularly on there as well. And he saw my work and a couple other guys' work. And he just said, yeah, guys, it's time. I think the UK had their own club. How about I host, the UK Aquatic Plant Society, or where's that effect on the Bar Report? So me and a few other chaps were like, yeah, let's go for it. Why not? I've got nothing to lose. And so it ran for a month or so on the Bar Report as a sub forum. And it was quite popular. And then we got a web kind of guy, Matt Holbrook Hull at the time. He set up ucaps.org. And myself, Graham Edwards, and Dan Crawford became the co-founders with Matt. And we set up ucaps.org, and we kind of went to the Festival of Fishkeeping, which is a UK hobbyist sort of consumer show, and we had our own stand. And Dan is actually, his trade is in sort of making exhibits for trade shows, and he's a graphic designer. So we had this amazing stand. You know, people thought we were some sort of merchant, not high-end merchandising stand. But we were just hobbyists having a laugh with planted tanks, you know. And it kind of grabbed people's attention. You know, I did a live aquascaping demo, and it was really popular. And yeah, the word got out, and now UCAPS has, I think, has over 11,000 members.
Yeah, you guys are doing great.
And, you know, 20 sponsors.
And the amount of talent there is amazing. I see a lot of the pictures.
And I mean, it's getting a lot more international now. Used to have like a hardcore sort of half a dozen or so UK talented guys. They're kind of doing their own thing, and we're getting more international people, which is cool. You know, it's all about spreading the word worldwide. So, yeah.
And was it with those founders that you guys got together and did the Aqueous?
Okay. So that was actually very, very talented UK aquascaper, James Star Marshall.
Okay.
You might have heard of him. He's on Facebook. So that's James Star Marshall. His surname's Double Barrel Star. Star with a double R as well. So he'll like that plug. So, it was his idea, his concept to start the Aqueous Art Movement. We do have a website. It's a little bit outdated. It's not been updated recently, but it does have a gallery. It has some photos of our debut event, which was at a London Art Gallery in Shoreditch called the Maverick Showrooms. And I think it was 2010, I want to say, maybe 2011. So we... You're still there, aren't
you? I am. You're coming across fine.
Cool. It was James's idea to showcase aquascaping as an art form rather than just another genre to the fishkeeping hobby, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. And I was really sort of honoured and felt really privileged that he invited me onto the team. And so that's he pretty much organised it. Him and his partner Jenny. She's a little bit into aquascaping, but not as much as James. But you know, she's a kind of force to be reckoned with on marketing and organisation, logistical side of stuff. So between them, they invited, you know, UK press. We had like broadsheet newspaper journalists turning up. We had just a massive variety of people, and I think in the 2 or 3 days, you know, we had 4 or 5 thousand visitors to this little gallery. And fantastic. the reaction was amazing. It just people's eyes, like, you know, widening as they walked down the stairs and saw these aquascapes. You know, and it was just like, you know, it's like sort of dream come true, you know, for people to be exposed to aquascaping in that way, to a whole new market. Because I think, you know, you have fish keepers and they see aquascaping as just, you know, just sort of another part of the hobby, you know, just to make their fish tank look pretty, which is cool. But actually, I think there's a massive market for people that don't want to get into fish keeping, but they want a lovely slice of nature in their own living space. You know, and that's where people like me and you come in, are, you know, to try and get that message across. And I think... Yeah, so just to see these, you know, hundreds of thousands of people coming in, you know, having a drink, having a glass of wine, just chatting, and you're just talking aquascaping with them, and they're like, we never knew anything like this existed.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, it got into like mainstream press, you know, and it was such a buzz.
Yeah, the pictures look amazing.
Yeah, thanks. And, yeah, I just think there's so much more to be explored with that. You know, there's so many other markets out there. You know, I think these people, you know, gardeners, you know, people that are sort of retirement age that have got a lot more disposable income, a lot more time maybe, you know, there's just a lot more markets that can be explored. And I think we're kind of limiting ourselves just by trying to just go through the normal sort of fish keeping channels. I think, you know, we need to go a bit broader.
Well, I heard that when you were talking to Dustin on the interview that one of your dreams is to have an aquascape in every house.
Yes, it is.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is. I remember when I first ever got into aquascaping, I set up a tank and our neighbour at the time really loved it. And she said, oh, can you set something like that for me? You know, for me. I was like, yeah, no problem. And do you know what? I just love doing that. I just loved creating something beautiful for someone else to appreciate. And I've never been good with drawing. You know, I can't sing. I can't play any musical instruments. So I can't, you know, please people that way. But I can sort of make these, you know, pretty fish tanks, if you like. Right. And I just got a massive buzz from it. You know, it's just the kind of person I am, I think. And then I remember saying to her, I said, do you know what? I'd love to have a beautiful fish tank like this in every home in the UK or, you know, in the world, you know. And I think there's no one that comes into my home at the moment and isn't impressed or isn't that aren't interested in the aquariums and the aquascapes. And you know, no matter who you are, I think there's something there to be enjoyed by everyone.
Right.
You know, and it's not hard and it's not necessarily expensive either.
That's I feel very much the same way, George. I really do. And the reason I'm so passionate about it, and I'm going to ask you as to why you're so passionate, but the reason I'm so passionate about it is that when I see one of these aquascapes done well, it really does touch my soul.
Okay. Yeah.
After many years, I can tell you that that's what it does. Mm-hmm. And I think when I bring people in that really are not hobbyists at all, they probably don't even have an aquarium, or the only aquarium they've had is when they were 10 years old and it was, you know, purple and pink and black and whatever.
Yeah.
They see it, it touches their soul too.
Mm.
So being that we all have souls, or at least most of us, there's really no reason why, you know, these people wouldn't want to have one. Mm. But for the fact that it's perceived to be hard.
Mm.
So making it easy, and we started this conversation talking about, well, you know, we need to get the word out there and we need to show people it's not that hard. We got to make it easy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that person, your neighbor, would never think about doing it. She'd be going and getting you. What's that saying where you give a man a fish and he eats for a day, but you teach him to fish?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So
very true.
So let me ask you about your passion. I mean, why the passion, George? Why aquascaping?
That's a really good question.
Have you thought about that?
Yeah, of course, all the time. Like you say, it touches my soul. That's fundamentally it. Why does it do that? I think that's a deeper question. I think as a human being. Most humans are the same. They feel a sense of comfort near water. So I think fundamentally an aquarium is a nice thing. And then I think we love to be around nature. Well, most people do. They love to see greenery. You know, I think the human eye is more in tune to the color green than any other color. It certainly, is perceived brighter than any other color. So, you know, I think aquarium plants have a massive, you know, deal there. I think it ticks so many other boxes for me as well. So from the whole process, from that empty aquarium, which is the blank canvas, and the infinite opportunity, infinite potential, through to the planning stage of, you know, just running through in my mind, you know, what kind of aquascape I'm going to do, whether it's going to be wood-based, you know, iwagumi stone-based, you know, really, really heavy planting, you know, what type of fish I want to go for, you know, normally that's kind of one of the decisions I make right at the end, but you might want to design an aquascape to suit a certain fish. Just that whole process of designing fascinates me. And then down to the actual things like plant preparation, you know, there's nothing better I love than sitting in front of a table with my plants, with some tweezers, with some scissors, a bucket of water, a spray mister, bottle of wine, some nice music, and I just sit there and I prepare these plants, and I love it.
Sounds like a great night.
Yeah, and you know, you've seen obviously my one pot iragumi challenge.
I have. Yes.
Yeah, you wrote about 3,000 words on it.
How about that?
you explained more about that tank than I knew about it myself. So that was cool. So you know, that one pot of my Crantham and Monte Carlo, you know, I took about 2 hours to prepare that one pot because, you know, it was tissue cultured. It was really, really densely packed with the plant matter, you know, and I individually, you know, teased apart the stems, you know, to get about 250, 300 individual plantlets. And then I planted each one individually, you know, and so the whole process, you know, it took me hours, but it's so therapeutic. And there's something about, you know, repetitive tasks that they get you into kind of almost like a self-hypnosis. It's just very tranquil. It's like a, I guess, like a form of meditation.
Right.
And then there was obviously the, you know, the filling up of water. I'm quite techie and quite geeky with technical equipment as well. So I enjoy, you know, setting up the filter, setting up the CO2, setting up the lighting. You know, and I happen to be quite OCD as well. So I try and make everything really neat. And then there's obviously the joy of watching the plants grow. You know, we talked about enjoying the maintenance, you know, set time aside to maintain your tank. So, you know, once a week, set yourself a good hour or so, you know, and just spend that and enjoy it. Don't try not to think of it as a chore. Try to think of it as something to enjoy, you know. And then, you know, so you're experiencing the growth, you know, the wonder, you know, putting the fish in, experiencing the joy of seeing the fish being healthy, you know, maybe getting your shrimp to breed, the ongoing maintenance side, and this sense of delayed gratification from this aquascape with really sort of immature and you know, small plants and watching them develop, you know, and you have this overall mastery, you have this overall control of the whole process. You know, you're just assisting nature, though, and that's the thing. You're not God, you know, you're not the fundamental person that controls the whole thing. You're just assisting it, but you're guiding it in a way that you want to happen. And then the goal at the end, you know, for most, a lot of people, a lot of aquascapers, is to get it ready for a contest, you know. And you know, in your previous podcast about contests was brilliant, you know. And then so you know, the fact if you get into photography, I think aquascaping and photography go really well together. The whole process of getting ready for the final photo. And then when you've done that, you know, I'm very lucky to be able to contribute to various magazines. You know, I get to see my work kind of immortalized in a magazine, or everyone can see it on their own, on their websites or Facebook or whatever, you know, just get the message out there. So it's that whole process art, from being, you know, having an empty tank all the way through to having this beautiful work of art at the end, and just enjoying the whole thing, you know. And I just, for me, there's nothing better, you know. It's just an incredible hobby. And you know, I try to, everyone I talk to about it, I try to, you know, get that message across. You know, some people get it, some people don't. But hey, you've always got to try.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you have to try, but I think you're hitting the nail on the head, and you're using the word enjoy.
Yeah.
And I couldn't agree with you more. This is a hobby that is almost meditation-like, if you want it to be. It's a great escape. And, you know, one of the reasons I think on the East, where we're at, or on the West, where we're at, everybody's in such a hurry. You have such a little time for anything. So the biggest excuse I get whenever I'm talking to people about this hobby and how great it would be if they did it as well is, mm-hmm. I don't have the time. It yeah. looks like it's a time sink. I don't have the time. So I think that that's a challenge, but it really depends on the point of view. What do you enjoy? If you enjoy setting it up, looking at it, and that's it, that's great. If that's good for you, that's wonderful. If you want to expand, like you did, into photography of it, and you're very talented there, and I'm sure it's a skill that you've honed and worked at. And then, you know, aquascaping contests and moving on to other things. It really, it is what you want. So motivation is key. What's your motivation? I think that was Tom Barr's message, right?
Yeah, the AGA, yeah. It was a really good message to get across. So people, you know, some people want to grow the plants the fastest they can, the most intense colors they can, use as much light as they can. Right. Their motivation is, you know, to grow plants quickly, you know, and that's great. You know, I've been through that phase, you know. It doesn't last long because it's tiresome. So, you know, I'm more of a fan of kind of lower maintenance aquascapes now. And I think, you know, it does have its use, you know, growing things quickly and, it, you know, it's a steep learning curve. You get to know nutrient dosing, CO2 management, maintenance techniques.
Yeah, but it's living on the edge.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if you need to go away, like you work away, I work away a fair bit, you can't do that. You know, and I've got 5 tanks now on the go. So there's no way I can run all of them on a knife edge. Five of them, huh?
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm looking at 3 right now as we're talking up.
I've seen them on Facebook. They all look nice. That's quite a challenge.
Yeah, no, it's good. They're all relatively low lighting, so you know, as you know, the light's the main driving force. So if you can limit that, then everything else slows down. So it's really cool.
There you go. You're showing your experience there. You know, you can really throttle these things however you'd like, one way or the other. Yeah. I've gotten, because I do travel for business, I have gotten very good at turning them around when I get back and it's algae ridden.
Okay.
You know, so one day I'll write a post on that.
Yeah, that's cool. So let me ask you, Art, when did you start the hobby?
Oh, my gosh. When did I start the hobby? I started the hobby back in the, it depends on what you're calling hobby.
Okay, when did you get into aquascaping?
let me answer that question by quickly just giving you a summary. I started when I was 10 years old, got my first aquarium, and it was mostly focused on fish. And I'm the type that tends to, when I get interested in something, I sort of dive in a little bit like you.
Yeah.
Some people would call it obsessive. I call it, you know, focused. And so the fish were a big part of it. But then I ran across at a pet store Dupla's book, The Optimum Aquarium, and that changed everything. Okay. And that is when I started getting into planted aquariums. And I'm using the word planted aquariums or the words planted aquarium to define it differently than aquascaping. So at that point it was, I want plants to survive in my aquarium. And at some point I would like them to look kind of like what they do in Dupla here. And back then, I know this is pre many of you, we were limiting nutrients, thinking that limiting phosphate in particular using Liebig series, law, would be the way to go. And, you know, Tom Barr came in and kind of said, oh, no. Do you need to take the call, George?
No, it's just...
Go for it if you need it.
No, you're right. It's Emma. She's just texting me some...
I don't want Emma upset with me. Take the call.
No, she's cool. She's just texting me, that's all.
Okay. Tell her to say hello.
I will do.
So anyway, aquascaping came later, and actually I had a phase in there where I was very focused on growing Cryptocoryne, and then I evolved out of that into aquascaping probably in the early 2000s.
Okay.
Amano had a big influence on that, and I grew into the hobby, I'm different than you, George, maybe because I travel so much for work.
Right.
I don't have time to do an aquascape and really maintain it the way it should. So given that, I adapted and where I think I'm, well, let me phrase it this way. Where I work hard at is to look at many different aquascapes and try and learn from you, the aquascaper. And kind of like what I did with that analysis of your one pot Iwagumi. Rather than me doing it actually, I'm analyzing what you're doing and trying to learn lessons. And then I try and share those lessons on Scapefoo. So as opposed to, you know, I always get asked, why don't I see your aquascapes posting? Well, I have one aquarium. I'm about to set up another one. This other one I will document. But it's, you know, every man's or every person's aquascape. It's nothing special because I can't have it because I'm traveling constantly. So I approach it a little bit. You know, I've been called the critic side of the aquascaping. I don't know if I like that. Because I don't criticize. I try not to anyway. What it is learning and supplementing and really celebrating the works that you who are doing it professionally can do. So that's my spin on the hobby, and everybody has to take their own spin. So, George, we've been talking about our passions, and I think some of the people listening to us are probably thinking, boy, these guys are real geeks. You know,
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, we're here, we're in the depths of it, but we weren't always here. And I think somebody new to the hobby probably should start simple, cheap,
definitely,
you know, easy.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time trying to speak to that person who's new to the hobby. I mean, do you get a lot of those questions as well?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I have nearly 3,000 friends on Facebook now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And, you know, 99%.
Like them, Rachel said, you're so famous.
I don't know about that. Infamous.
Infamous. Okay.
And, you know, I do get a lot of questions. I try to, you know, and I do apologize to a lot of people because I don't have time to answer everyone.
Not with 3,000 friends.
No, exactly. So, yes, you do get a lot of people asking questions, and a lot of them are so detailed.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where I want to, you know, maybe have a little bit of a elaborate a little bit, because, like I said earlier, there's so many different ways to achieve a very similar goal. So don't try not to be. And I'm talking to the beginners out there and the guys that, you know, might want a bit of advice. Try not to get too fixated on hitting certain light levels, certain nutrient levels. You know, plants are very adaptable, and they're very opportunistic. So you can actually give, you know, in terms of light especially, you can give them relatively little, and they'll grow as long as you have the other things right. So, you know, invest in a good substrate. I think that's important. Liquid fertilizers. So either go down the dry chemical route, or some people find that a bit scary. You know, buy a decent liquid fertilizer which contains NPK, you know, nitrates, phosphates. And don't skimp on circulation.
Oh, I love that you're saying that. That's so true.
Circulation is probably, I think, apart from CO2, I think it's one of like the groundbreaking things that modern tank hobbyists have realized in sort of the last 10 years. You know, circulation, especially if you're using CO2, you know, it's really, really important. Try to get all of the plants in the aquarium, you know, getting hit by CO2 and the other nutrients. So that's really important. And the thing is, you don't have to spend a lot of money to achieve that. You know, I'm running, three of the aquariums I'm running now are a very reasonably priced brand. You know, they have the whole range of products are made by the same company, and they're very, very reasonably priced. And I'm seeing brilliant results. And there's I'm not doing anything special. I'm not using any secret techniques. I'm not spending loads of time maintaining them. You know, any beginner fish keeper can achieve exactly what I'm achieving with this product line, you know, with these plants. There's no secret. It's, you know, maintain once a week at least. You know, invest, like I say, in the soil, fertilizers, and CO2 and circulation, maintenance, you know, buy good plants as well. And that's, it really is that easy. It really is not hard. And, you know, if you want to try demanding plants, you know, you might be surprised. Stick them in your tank. You know, if they've got enough CO2 and nutrients in circulation, you'd be surprised. You might not need all that light that you think you do. And I think more people run into more problems by using too much light, yes, and not enough everything else.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to have lots of light. You know, with these high-powered LEDs, which are great. You know, I use pretty much LED exclusively now.
Right.
And it is brilliant, but you don't need a lot of it, you know. I've taken PAR readings just out of curiosity, and in one of the tanks, it's literally like five micromoles. You know, and people used to recommend, oh, yeah, you need to have about 100 to grow glosso, you know. No, you don't. As long as if you've got decent CO2, decent circulation, decent nutrients, you know, plants will grow under very little lighting, and it's really hard to get people's sort of thoughts out of the lighting thing. You know, how much light do I need? Have I got enough light? Do I need to add extra light? No, you don't. Just think about the other stuff, and I'm sure you'll be fine. So,
how about inspiration, George? I mean, a lot of people. Yes, the technical side, I get it. I need CO2. I need the fertilizer. I need this. I got it. But how about inspiration? Where do I get inspiration?
Well, the obvious is depend where you live. You know, nature, obviously. But you know, for me, I don't live in a particularly. I live in an English, you know, almost rural side part of England, but it's quite flat. There's no mountains. There's not masses of woodland. So to be honest, I get a lot of my inspiration from other people. You know, obviously from Romano, from other aquascapers. You know, as you know, I'm very prolific on Facebook and Twitter and the forums. So there seems to be hundreds of planted tank groups now, you know, aquascaping groups on Facebook. You know, ranging from really, you know, from the sort of beginner-friendly DIY kind of people to the really sort of high-end, you know, professional. You know, I get my inspiration now from, you know, just other aquascapers usually. I often come up with my own ideas. But, you know, what I will say for beginners especially is don't be afraid to copy an aquascape that you like. You know, you can immediately sort of guarantee you're going to get a good result because you're going to copy it. And with today's availability of decent products, you know, hopefully you can get hold of some decent hardscapes, some decent quality plants. You know, there's no reason why you can't achieve, you know, that aquascape that you love. And as you get more experience with growing the plants, the gardening, the maintenance side of things, then experiment, you know, try different plants, try different, you know, hardscape, different layout techniques. So, yeah. But, yeah, where do I get my inspiration from? I think, you know, it's easy to say Amano, nature, but actually I think it comes from something subconscious. I think it comes from things that you kind of learn throughout your whole life, and you just, it's like, I can't explain it really.
No, I think you're doing a fine job. That's absolutely right.
To be honest with you, a lot of the aquascapes I do, and I don't think I've told anyone this, so this is kind of like a Scape Foo exclusive. A lot of the time, I don't even know how I'm going to aquascape. I just literally think that's nice wood, that's nice rocks. I'll plonk them in, and then I'll come up with almost a random plant list, and away I go. I did a aquascaping demonstration at a store in Leicester in the UK last Friday, and I had a list of plants. I just came up with a fairly generic long list of low maintenance plants, so lots of crips, ferns, you know, you've heard of the Busa philandra?
Sure.
Yeah, that's fairly new to the hobby.
Sure. Very popular now.
Yes, and some Alternanthera red stem plants. So just a classic, you know, sort of low maintenance load of plants apart from the stems, just to add a little bit of impact. So that's a safe aquascape for me. It was a 200 litre, so it was that 50 gallon US gallon tank. I didn't even see the hardscape that was available to me. So I kind of just thought, I'll go for this big plant list, And I literally, I had, you know, 20 to 25 people watching me. First time I saw this wood, first time I saw the rocks, first time I'd seen the plants, but I kind of knew they'd be good quality. And so I literally come up with this hardscape in, you know, 2-3 minutes. And like we said earlier, I can do that because I've practiced, you know.
There's that word again.
Yes, it is just practice. And I did talk through the process to the people watching. So I held up the piece of wood in front of me, I held it up to the tank, positioned it in every axis possible, you know, twisted it, turned it, moved it left, moved it right. And just keep doing that until you think, can that look any better any other way? And until you get to that point where you think no, then that's when you stick it in. And you do the same with the next piece of wood, and you do the same with the next stone. And you just follow guides from nature. So you make sure the stone strata is all flowing together with the other stones. You know, that process, you know, back, you know, 10 years ago, that would have taken me a week. I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet, but literally it's just through sheer doing that same process over and over and over again. Like anything in this world, it becomes second nature. Yeah. It becomes almost instinctual. So,
yeah. And when you don't have 25 people looking at you, and when you don't have to finish in a couple of hours, you can take a day or two or
week. And that's what you should do. And you should enjoy that. And going back to the enjoyment thing.
Exactly.
Take your time, enjoy it. Go back to the tank, look at it, think, is there any way, any one little thing I can do to make that look better? And if you've got a little doubt, then just have a little play. You know, if it's a dry scape, then what's the damage? There's no, you know, there's no risk.
Yes, so, that's why I recommend the Aquascaping Dojo.
One of the
previous Escape Food podcasts that I put together.
Yeah, that's a very good one as well. Yeah, very good.
So, George, we're around about almost 50 minutes of chatting here, which has gone very quickly. Let me do some questions that I got thrown by people who want to hear from you on this.
Okay, cool.
Now, most of them relate to technical aspects, and that is completely understandable on my part because people don't really care about me or you personally. They just want to know how you do it, George.
Yeah, fair enough. Totally.
So I can understand that, folks. So, all right. So here we go. This is in no particular logical order.
Okay.
All right. So almost rapid fire here. Mm-hmm. George, reverse osmosis or tap water?
I've tried both. They both work brilliantly for me. At the moment, all my aquariums are growing in very hard tap water.
I'm a tap water guy too. Next question. How much time do you spend daily on maintenance? George? George, we're back.
Hello.
How are you? I do.
Yeah, good. So I think the last question was how much time daily do I spend on maintenance?
Yes.
Okay. About 2 minutes daily. That's just literally adding liquid fertilizers and adding fish food. If there's any major dramas I can see with regards any floating plant matter or any algae infested leaves, then I'll spend a little bit more time. So daily, just a few minutes. Weekly, different matter. Probably on average an hour on each tank.
Next question.
Go.
Biotopes, do you still do them? Do you still like them?
I still love them. I'm not doing them at the moment, but I have a project in mind coming very soon.
You actually won the AGA 2009, right?
I did, yeah. That was really cool. I was really, really, really thrilled with that. That was a lovely experience, yeah. So, yeah, biotopes, it's just a win-win, isn't it? You know, the fish are winning and, you know, aquascaping is winning. So, yeah, what can you love?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's the standards getting so good these days as well. There's no way I'd win that contest again. Yeah. Trust me.
All right. What camera do you use, and what are the secrets to great aquascape photography? I would tell you before you answer, go listen to our Scape Foo podcast on photography, but go ahead, George.
Okay, just to sum it up. I use a Canon 6D, which is a full-frame digital SLR camera. And I use a variety of lenses from ultra-wide angle all the way to telephoto. So, and my favorite probably lens is a 100 macro. So, I don't tend to use any off-camera flash or flash photography. I tend to rely on the on the aquarium lighting. The secrets to success are: learn your camera, get to use it in manual mode, learn how the relationship between aperture, shutter speed, and ISO, and practice.
There's that word again. I love it.
In practice, yeah, that's it. That's pretty much the secret. There isn't any.
Exactly. Practice is the secret.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on. How many aquascapes do you think you've done in your time as an aquascaper?
137. No, I don't know. Anything between 1 and 200, I expect. Maybe more now, to be honest.
1 or 200. Did you keep pictures of each one?
Sadly, not. I did. My iMac crashed on me, and I stupidly didn't make a backup, so I've lost a lot of work.
That is one of my things as a aquascape observer, someone who appreciates others' work. The fact that they're not collected somewhere, safekeeping, record keeping, because they're so transient, right?
And
we could have you could do your masterpiece, and it's quite possible that in a few years we won't see it anymore.
Yeah, this is true. So, I think with the internet, things are kind of out there. So thankfully, there is a record, even though it might only be 800 pixels long. But there's a record of most of them. So
fertilizer style, estimative index, or something else.
The principle I operate on is the estimative index. I don't use dry fertilizers. I just find it really handy to have it all in one bottle or two, maybe. So I use, most of the time, I use Tropico Specialized, which is a all-in-one. And I did a Brie overdose. As we all know, if you overdose nutrients in a healthy plant aquarium, then there's no problem. There's plenty of other similar products out there which do exactly the same thing. So, but I do large water changes every week as well. So that's the estimative index side of things.
Okay. What does Iwagumi mean to you, and why is it your comfort zone?
Good question. Rock garden, and there's just something really kind of relaxing about an Iwagumi. It's a sense of peace, a sense of the minimalistic kind of zen thing, I think. I really like playing with rocks as well. I love to hold a good rock. So there we go.
Next question. Dutch style, your thoughts?
Very, hold it in massive respect. The skill levels that are involved to create a Dutch layout, a successful Dutch layout, are incredible.
You're so right about that.
I do some work for a guy that was taught by a Dutch master, and he showed me one of his aquascapes last Friday, actually. And it was just mind-blowing just how the attention to detail, it's very formal, it's very kind of contrived, but the level of getting all those stems to get to that point at the right time, the pruning techniques, the way they're grouped, it's just a whole new level of aquascaping. It doesn't appeal to me visually as much as a nature aquarium, but yeah, just massive respect to those guys that do it, because it's just another level of gardening. Totally.
It really is impressive.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Do you do it yourself, DIY?
No, not anymore. I'm in a very privileged position that I tend to get a lot of equipment given to me to test or to do, obviously, using the magazines or online. So I'm very lucky. However, I did write my first ever practical fish keeping magazine article on DIY CO2. And I'd still, you know, have that is kind of hold that close to my heart. You know, I learned how to grow plants. I managed to grow plants really well with DIY CO2, you know, the yeast-based method.
Yes.
And I did that for a good few years. I had two DIY CO2 yeast-based bottles on the same tank, and I used to swap them around alternately to get to maintain a consistent level of CO2. I had the diffusers, one at each end of the tank, to get, you know, the best sort of CO2 kind of circulation. And that taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about, again, enjoying the maintenance side of things, being quite methodical and keeping on top of the maintenance, which I think stood me in good stead for the rest of my kind of aquascaping career. I have done little tricks just to tidy up cabinets, just to make the aquarium, you know, look tidier maybe. But in terms of DIY lighting or filtration, or build my own tanks and cabinets, no, I've not done that. I don't think I've got the level of skill to do that, really.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Pay someone else to do it.
All right. So what did you think of the AGA 2015 convention now that you're back home? And did you like the experience?
Oh, I'm really pleased you asked me that question. Without a doubt, has been the pinnacle so far of my aquascaping journey. I don't mind saying that I've been through quite a tough year. I've gone through divorce. I've moved house twice. I've moved jobs twice. And obviously something has to give. One of the things was aquascaping. I kind of had a bit of a dry period. Lost a lot of motivation. You know, I had a few sort of health issues as well. But, you know, I was obviously invited to the AGA. I was massively honoured to know, you know, when I started the hobby, someone would be asking me to be a keynote speaker at the same place. There'd be Jeff and Mike Senske, Diana Welshdad, you know, Karen Randall, yourself, Art, you know, Jason Balaban, Jay Luto, Gamzee Gufori, sorry if I got your name wrong, Gamzee. All these people I've held in massive respect since I started the hobby, you know, I'm going to be talking in front of them, you know, and it's just like, ooh, this is really weird. But it was great. And actually, it really kind of kick-started me and re-motivated me. It was fantastic. And it was just lovely to spend so much time with so many great people that are into this great hobby, and it's really reignited my passion, and you know, I'm just moving forward at a fast pace now. And without the convention, I wouldn't be, there's no way I'd have five aquariums in my house right now. So yeah, I really do thank you guys, thank the AGA guys for inviting me. It was a massive honor, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I always enjoy them. It was fantastic, and I can't encourage people more to go to the next one. Hopefully we'll
definitely be able
to bring you over the next time as well.
Well, I'd love, even without being a guest speaker, you know, I'd happily attend just as a guest, just as a paying guest. And Emma, you know, my partner, is exactly the same. She enjoyed it. She loved meeting you guys as well, and you know, we're a team, so yeah, we can count us in for the next one, definitely.
She's great. So all right, just a few more, George.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, you aquascaped a goldfish tank with plastic plants. It looked amazing. How are you pushing yourself and the boundaries of aquascaping?
That's a good question. I do want to make a little bit of a point about that goldfish tank. I've had quite a little bit of criticism, actually, that it was overstocked. So I just want to get this out there.
Okay.
Now. It was kind of overstocked. I had two massive external canister filters on it, and I did 50% water changes every other day. So the fish, there was no fish harmed in this aquascape. So let's get that out of the way.
Nice disclaimer. Okay.
Yeah. So I was kind of commissioned for that aquascape. There's more and more plastic plants out there on the market. Some of them look really, really good. And, you know, the magazine that I was writing for said, you know, George, make a goldfish tank look pretty. So that's what I tried to do. And, you know, I enjoyed it. It was a nice tank. You know, goldfish have their place. They're a really popular part of the hobby. I do believe they're not a beginner fish. Unfortunately, they're marketed as such still. They are very messy. They require lots of oxygen. So, you know, if you've got a small tank, you know, think about putting, you know, white cloud mountain minnows in there or cherry barbs, you know.
Right.
You know, please avoid goldfish in small tanks. But, it was good fun. And, you know, it just shows that you can create a nice looking aquarium, and you don't have to use live plants necessarily, or stereotypical, you know, tetras and the other fish normally associated with aquascaping.
I'm so glad you just said that. The slogan or motto or whatever you want to call it for Scapefoo, it's let's make aquariums beautiful. You don't need live plants to make aquariums beautiful. You can do it with salt water. You can do it with a hardscape only. You can do it with a goldfish tank, with using plastic plants. So, George, you still there?
Hello.
George, you're back.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Yes, one of my sort of catchphrases, if you like, is if you've got an aquarium, you might as well make it look beautiful.
You
might as well make it look pretty. There's no, even a quarantine tank or a breeding tank, you know, if you've got a stone in there, you know, use the rule of thirds, just put it over to the side. Don't have it slap back in the middle. You know, if you've got some equipment that you can hide behind something, then do it. You know, just, you know, use these really simple concepts and try and make your fish tank look as pretty as it can be.
Couldn't agree with you more, my friend. Couple stuff. More for you.
Okay.
Do you think we need style in aquascaping products like ADA and ELOS, or do you think the way to go to get people involved is do it yourself? These are tough questions.
Man. That's really it depends on the user. It depends on who's.
Yeah, I would say we need both, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I would say that you do what you want, basically. If you've got the budget and you have a taste for high end design stuff, then that's fine. You know, if you don't, then DIY is fine. You can still make really cool looking stuff DIY on a budget. So it's entirely up to you guys. You know, the beauty is that you've got it all available to you. So the DIY side of things, there's so many articles out there now on how to make, you know, your own LED luminaires, you know, even your own CO2 kits, your own regulators art, which you've done a podcast on recently.
Yep.
CO2 regulators, you know, there's no reason why you can't do one or the other. Mix it up, you know.
The beauty is you can be a success either way.
Yeah. It's one of the, you know, we've talked about it a couple of times already. There's so many different ways to achieve the similar goals. So that can be a double-edged sword because it can lead to a lot of confusion, which is why I go back to, you know, try and have one mentor and stick with them.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Hey, one question, and then they want us to do a little word association for you. But the question, I like this one. This one's creative.
Cool.
What thing would you like someone to invent to make your life easier with aquascaping? Perhaps a mass-produced red colander. That's funny.
Yeah, that's really good. That colander has had some really heavy usage lately, by the way.
I saw some pictures on Facebook of it.
Yeah, every time I use it, I think of you now.
That's so funny.
All right, I'd love to tell you my one product, but I can't because I'm going to invent it myself, and I'm joking. That's a bit tongue in cheek. A filter, an external filter with a built-in heater, which has already been done, but also a built-in CO2 reactor and built-in CO2 measuring device.
Oh, I love it! Mm. So you just hook it up, and it's all set up.
Yeah, and so you're ready to go.
Nice. All right. Yeah. So whoever sent that question in, there you go.
There you go. Go make that. Take it to Dragon's
That's
Den.
That's right. Give us some royalties later.
Have you got Dragon's Den over there? Have you heard of that?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. TV show. Invest in. Yeah. Okay.
Perfect.
That's a good question. Thank you.
Word association time, George.
Okay.
Okay.
Super tricky.
First thing that jumps into your mind, you know how it works.
Okay.
Ready? Yeah. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Nature aquarium.
Amano.
Algae.
Cyano.
Photography.
Canon.
Senski.
Jeff. And Mike.
Oh, thank
Sorry,
God
Mike.
You. Said
oh,
that.
Mike's going to be gutted.
Golden ratio.
0.618.
Nice. Scree.
Project.
Okay, we have to explain that one later. Final one. Sunday.
Monday.
There you go. Now, I don't know if everybody's going to... That's very good, actually. I don't know if everybody knows what a scree is. Do you want to explain it? And
why
you said project?
Yeah, scree is like the collection of rocks at the bottom of a mountain, basically. And so I used the word project because I had a long-running journal on UCAPS called Project Scree, which is a journal documenting my Iwagumi, which was inspired by a scree on the bottom of a Welsh mountain. It's quite one of my more sort of well-known aquascapes. So if you just type in Project Scree Aquascape on Google, you'll see what I mean.
I'll have a link in the show notes.
Sure.
George, where can people find you? We've been talking a long time. I thank you so much. It's past 10 p.m., folks, in London or in the U.K.,
it is, and I've got to get up at 4:30 in the morning to go to London. So.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
Let's wrap this up. Where can people find you?
Okay. So I'm on Facebook. If you just type in George Farmer, the Aquascaper, one word, the Aquascaper. George Farmer is obviously two separate words. You should find me. Twitter, my username is @TheAquascaper, one word, and the same on Instagram, which I've just started using recently. I'm also on YouTube. My URL for that is youtube.com/GF225. And I'm also on UCAPS. So just my username is George Farmer. Thanks so much, Art, for this. And it's kind of a joint sort of idea that we've had. I think it's gone really well. I've really enjoyed myself.
I enjoyed myself immensely. Thank you so much for being willing to spend an hour here chatting and giving us your thoughts. It's been very valuable. I think people will find it very valuable.
I hope so. It's, you know, if anything it's gotten across, it's, you know, hopefully my passion and your passion for the hobby. And, you know, let's get an aquascape in every home, Art, hey?
I love it. I share that dream. Let's do it.
Let's do it, man.
All right, cool. George, man. Thank you. Right. Take care.
Take care. All the best. Chat soon. Bye.
And there you have it. I had a blast speaking with George. I learned tons. I hope you did as well. Thoroughly enjoyed it. George, thank you so much again for taking the time and having the inspiration and the passion that you do. I think we're all trying to do the same thing. We're trying to enjoy the hobby, share our love of the hobby, and certainly put an aquascape in every home is a great, great objective to have. I share that. So if you enjoyed this podcast, I hope you will become a subscriber to the Scape Foo podcast if you're not already. It's very easy to do and very important for us. If you're listening to this podcast on the internet, on the Scape Foo website, that's perfectly fine. It's a great place to do it, but there's a way to do it much easier, and that's by downloading it to your phone or other listening device that you may have. I know there's some of you that still listen to us via iPods or MP3 players, which is also perfectly fine and much more convenient than having to go to the internet and visiting the Scape Foo podcast site. So how do you do it? Well, you go to iTunes. I'll put a link in the show notes. In the show notes for today's episode are scapefoo.com/39. Go there, click, go to the Scape Foo site on iTunes. Just type in Scape Foo, you'll get there. And subscribe, rate, leave a review, and hopefully you will be kind enough to share via the share link that they have there. This is very important for us as it helps us expand the audience of the Skate Foo podcast. So I know this has been a long one. Again, I hope you enjoyed it. Any feedback you have, we'd love to hear it. I'm at art@skatefoo.com. My co-host JJ is at JJ@skatefoo.com and Yuris is at JS@skatefoo.com, or you can reach all three of us by simply sending an email to feedback@skatefoo.com. Okay, listen, have a great week and thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Skate Foo podcast, where it's all about learning to make aquariums beautiful.